show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And you know what? It is that time of year. The college football publications, they are putting their final touches on the 2010 college football previews. And at the top of our list and our favorite, of course, is Phil Steele Magazine and philsteele.com. What a pleasure to welcome back into our program, who always does the pinch hitting, our good friend Joey Lucci with Phil Steele Magazine. Joey, how are you?
I'm doing great. We just completed some long, hard work here. You know, it's like a year process to get the magazine going, but in the last couple months, we really hammered down and got this thing out, and it's off to the printers right now as we speak, and it'll be on the newsstands early June for you, about June 8th there, and not only doing it, just very proud of it as well, too, because it's just a tool we use all year long.
It's a first-class publication, no doubt about it. I love when you talk about execution because you really, it's so true. I mean, it's a year-round process. And I have to say, you know, living here in Texas, in Fort Worth, talking about college football, Joey, it is never seasonal. It is year-round. You guys are in the Midwest. Is the same true there? Or is it, you know, when college basketball rolls around, you guys kind of set football aside? Or what is it like?
I think everything's college football 365 now. And if you think about that on anything, I think because there's so much, you know, exposure and information that you can get, and the season just doesn't end. You know, you've got the recruits coming in, and you know, you've got the things like that, and even you want to see where your players go into the draft. So it's become a whole year process. I think maybe the West Coast hasn't caught on a little bit as much, but I think the rest of the country, it's college football 365.
Here in just a moment, we are going to start breaking down some of the conferences. Of course, up first, we're going to talk some TCU since we are right here in their backyard in Fort Worth, Texas, Mountain West Conference. And then we will segue into the Big 12. I have to ask you, and I don't think we've talked about this before. Joey, you have been at Phil Steele Magazine for a number of years. What are some of the biggest changes that you have perhaps seen over the years unfold with college football?
Well, you know, you kind of saw a little bit of, maybe it was a lot top heavy when I started. I came here around 2001, and you had your dominant teams, but I think now, you know, you're starting to get the surprise teams, and you get the quote unquote underdogs and these non-BCS conference teams, and you're kind of like, wow, they're good, they can play with the big boys and stuff. And you've seen that kind of revolution where, as a recruit comes in and says, you know what, I don't necessarily want to play a third string for a bigger school. I want to start for maybe a mid-major, so to speak, and I see that big of a difference. Other than that, though, you know, it's still football, and it's still X's and O's, and, you still got to, you know, put the product on the field and get it done.
Well, let's talk some X's and O's, and as I said, we're going to start things off first talking about TCU. Very high projections for the Frogs in the 2010 season. Coach Patterson sharing with me last weekend they are returning 54 Lettermen, and I truly believe they have a legitimate shot at getting to that title game. Let's not forget, they were just seconds away from that happening last year, right, Joey?
Absolutely. This is a team that's absolutely amazing. You know, TCU football, 11-win seasons, 5 of the last 7 years is absolutely amazing. You know, Gary Patterson has done an amazing job, and I think this 2010 team is his best team yet. This is, and I tell you what, you look at it, they start right off the bat, you know, you've got Oregon State, but they get them in Arlington, that beautiful stadium in Arlington with that scoreboard stretches from, what, Texas to Ohio, it seems like. I mean, so you get them at home. You're looking at Baylor 3 weeks down the road, but look at the Big 12 and TCU. They've gone 5-2 since 2005. And remember, this might not make Oklahoma fans happy, but that was that upset of the number seven Sooners there in Norman. So ever since that, they're 5-2. So you've got Baylor coming in. And then, you know, you look at it in the Mountain West, you've got BYU, but you host BYU. Now, BYU, you know, dismissed their running back. Their quarterback, Hall, he's not there. Plus, look at the last 2 years, what you did to a ranked BYU team. 38-7 last year, number 16. 2 years ago, 32-7, a number 9 team. And I believe that you're having your better team this year. I think the key game, November 6th, is going to be at Utah. This is going to be a key game. But last year, no problem with the statistics with Utah. 32-11 first down edge. They had 549 yards of offense. And even 2 years ago when they did lose, the last time they went there, they still had a 20-17 first down edge, and they still outgained them 416-275. You know, I believe they can get over that. If TCU and those roadblocks that I just mentioned, and they're not as big of roadblocks maybe at the Utah game, they're looking at an undefeated 12-0 season, and you start getting some of these major BCS conferences with one or two losses, you got to start looking at TCU as maybe getting to representing in that national championship game if everything all comes right. I personally think that they will go 12-0 this year. Well, you know, obviously with health and good fortune and things like that. Gary Patterson will have obviously his best team yet. And then at the end of the year, when they're sitting there 12-0 and looking at that, and you look at some of these BCS teams, like I said, with one or two losses, how can you keep the Horned Frogs from what they've done in the past years out of a national championship game if the spot fits?
Joey Lucci doing a fantastic job breaking it all down. Specifically right now, we are zeroing in on TCU. Of course, Joey Lucci is with Phil Steele Magazine, philsteele.com. We want to direct you to their website. We're going to talk more about the 2010 publication, as Joey had said earlier, that will be coming out in the month of June. 2009 for TCU, of course, it was undeniably just that landmark year in terms of the program's history. The Frogs, as you had said, Joey, won 12 games for only the second time in school history. They won the Mountain West.
I mean, that's absolutely amazing, and, you know, they didn't play their best game in the bowl. We knew that against Boise, but not too shabby Boise State Bronco team, you know, going undefeated themselves. I thought that was a great bowl, you know, that Fiesta Bowl, and I'm glad that they got it right. And I know on the bowl show that we did last year, that's what we were shooting for, and I'm glad it happened, and I was very excited to see that matchup.
Well, I wanted to ask you, in terms of Coach Patterson, how has he been able to maintain such a level of consistency? Because they are not a one-year wonder type of a team. They have been able to stand eye-to-eye, toe-to-toe. You were even breaking down some of the teams within the Big 12 Conference that they have been able to prevail, flex their muscles, and walk away with W's.
I think once you have a program and once you start winning and you have in place, you know, it's a proven track record, the players are going to start to believe in that, and they're going to do whatever it takes. Now Gary Patterson is an absolute amazing coach. He might have the, you know, looking at the players that he'll get there, you know, he's recruiting up against the Texases, the A&Ms, you know, the Oklahomas, and he's recruiting down there and getting those athletes that say, hey, listen, you can come to this program and you can be on the big stage like that. And though he might not get a Texas athlete, so to speak, or he will, he's going to get the most out of that kid, and that's what I love about him, and he does that. And he has something in place, and it works, and if it works, don't fix it. And I'll tell you what, I love the quarterback, Andy Dalton. That's a great story on there. And a hint, Andy Dalton actually made our Texas cover for the magazine, so all you TCU fans are going to want to grab that one up, I'll tell you that. And there's a reason why we put him on the cover. But you get these athletes and you look at them and you're like, okay, they're them, maybe not as highly touted, maybe not as highly touted, but at the end of their career, you know who they are. And I think that's what it is. It's just a system in place. Hard work, you know, goes a long way. And I think Gary Patterson, if you look up hard work, I think his picture is right there in the dictionary.
Okay, so Andy Dalton, let's say hypothetically, and all fingers crossed that he does remain healthy, he has a good year. I mean, where do you think he'll fall in terms of the Heisman?
You know, I think it's a long shot, obviously, for a Heisman, but, you know, you're probably looking, he's got to be considered within the top seven, you know, if he has the type of year he has. You know, he's got the ability to scramble, plus, you know, he's got the ability to make plays with his arm, and it doesn't hurt when you're throwing to guys like Curley and Young out there as well. And, you know, they kind of fit in a running back. I know Joseph Turner's not there anymore, but they'll plug in a nice running back looking like Matthew Tucker, and after that's gone, you know, he's got a lot of help around him. So it'll be a long shot, but like I said, he'll go the way they go, and the way I see TCU, he's going to have an excellent season.
Well, a number of folks are anticipating the breakout players will be Ed Wesley and Matthew Tucker, two running backs, two freshmen that were known to be talented. But
Ed Wesley had 630 yards last year, so yeah, he's definitely coming on board. So they do have a nice two-headed monster, so to speak, at the running back spot, not losing anything off that offensive line. And, of course, when you talk TCU football, you always start with defense, and you're always putting a top-notch one there out.
Yeah, we will hit on defense momentarily, but I like the fact that you talked about Andy Dalton, just kind of his versatility, because not only is, you had said he was efficient with his passing, but also rushing for 522 yards, and he only threw five interceptions while connecting for 23 touchdowns.
Yeah, 23. We got eight interceptions there he threw, but still a great, you know, 512. So which means that, you know, if things are shut down in the passing game, he's always a threat to take off. And, you know, he might not pass as much or run as much, I should say, this year, but that's a good thing because he's got, you know, he's going to spread the ball around with a little bit more weapons. He's always going to be, you know, have that ability to take off, you know, and that dual threat, which is always keeping the defenses thinking.
Joey Lucci is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, we know his name because he is with Phil Steele Magazine. We have got to pause momentarily. Direct all of our listeners to your website. And what can we look forward to with the magazine this year? Will it be different from years past?
Well, you can go to philsteele.com. That's STEELE.com. There's daily blogs up there. Information changes hourly, especially, you know, we took a little bit of time to do the magazine, but now we've got daily blogs. Like I said, you can actually ask Phil questions yourself, interact with him on Facebook. So it's definitely a website that you should have and check out on a daily basis. The magazine this year, obviously 365, full-color pages. You know, just a little bit more information, in it there from years past. You know, being limited to 365, we're not limited on the website, so there'll be even more information up there as well. So you want to check out philsteele.com and want to get your copy of the 2010 Phil Steele's College Football Preview on newsstands everywhere on June 8th.
Phil, every year it seems like he always addresses some of those tough questions, you know, which is the most competitive conference or who is the most improved team or, you know, do you like the Bulls? Do you like the BCS? How does that all work out?
Oh, it works out great. It's fun doing it. You know, he actually, you know, goes in there, and I think what separates the magazine from some others is, you know, Phil actually, you know, writes everything. You know, this is, he goes over every team himself, all 120 teams. Now, we do have people that help assist him in things, stats and correcting names and things of that, but Phil writes everything himself. Everything comes from him, and the ideas of the different pages are right from him as well. And then, like you said, the bowls, that's kind of fun. You know, you get to the end of the magazine, it's long, hard work, and then we kind of start piecing the season together. And I find it fun. I know it's hard work, but in the end, you put a big smile on your face because you know the product you're putting out is outstanding.
Well, let's talk about the product with TCU. Of course, we'd already hit on offensively, just some quick hits on there. But in terms of defensively, some of the biggest holes that they will need to fill is defensively with the departure of four reliable starters. And at the top defensive end, Jerry Hughes, linebacker Darrell Washington. Who jumps out at you that will replace these guys, if possible?
How about, you know, you've got Broughton in there coming in from the defensive end spot. I don't think you really replace a guy like Hughes. I think, you know, you put a guy in there and you're like, okay. But don't forget, they've got three other, you know, guys on that line, Grant, Griffin, and Daniels. And these guys all started 13, 13, and 12 games. So it's 38 starts between them from last year. So, you know, and they're all seniors. And even the guy that replaced them will be an upperclassman. So you do, you know, even though you lose Hughes, you still got that veteran front, and that's a big because you want to put that pressure on the front, you know, so then your secondary can just run around and make interceptions and things like that. You know, even losing Priest on the cornerback spot and Sanders, another defensive starter at the cornerbacks, you know, you got Teague and McCoy. They both started games last year, and your safeties are pretty much solid. They were your starters last year. So, you know, looking at it, you got to replace a linebacker, you replace a defensive end, but everybody else coming back, that's absolutely scary because you know those guys will catch on. So I don't think they're going to really lose too much of a step there.
Here in just a second, we're just going to start talking about Texas and their team, their program, and what we can look forward to that. But, you know, about TCU, their non-conference wins in September last year against Virginia and Clemson really set the tone, I think, for their season, and they just continue to get better each and every week. What do you think of the non-conference play, especially that first game? I mean, how do you think that they will line it up and match up?
I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be all right. I think TCU has been on that stage. I think if we took it back 6 years ago, you start to get a little bit wide open. But, you know, these players have been there. This program has the prestige that, you know, they play these teams. And, you know, they play the Mountain West Conference, which is the best conference and sometimes a better conference than a BCS Big East, in my opinion. But looking at it right off the bat, I love the fact that it's a neutral game. But in Arlington, Texas, you know the Horned Frogs are going to be represented well. Not to say that the Beavers are going to lay down, but you're going to have an advantage there over that. And even with Baylor coming in, you know, the success, the 5-2 record since 05 that you had against the Big 12, you're not going to be intimidated by Baylor. Now, Baylor's going to be a little bit better this year, obviously, because they've got Griffin coming back. But, you know, they should be able to right the ship there. And, of course, you know, on the other And, you know, the other non-conference games fall into the winnable category. So I see a non-conference schedule that they should be able to sweep again. And like I said, I think the biggest game on that schedule, once they get past that first week, will be that November 6th game at Utah.
Let's head south on I-35. Let's go into Austin, Texas, and start talking about those Longhorns. Their season ended in true disappointment last year. McCoy with the big injury in the national championship game against Alabama. I had to think about that for just a moment, but I know Longhorn fans, they hadn't forgotten it at all. That was certainly a difficult and tough way to end their season.
Watching the game, you'd forget a little bit who you were playing. I think you were in shock for what, about an hour after McCoy did get hurt, realizing, who's this Garrett Gilbert?
Well, it was only the fifth offensive play. I mean, yeah. You're just like, this cannot be happening.
I mean, that's just like all the adrenaline. You're all excited. You're going to, you know, whatever party you went to, and you know, you stuffed your face with whatever food you had that day, and then all of a sudden you sit down and get comfortable, and then you're like, where's McCoy at?
Yeah, it was certainly very disappointing to watch. But what does the future hold in terms of their quarterback? We have heard a lot of great things, and we even saw that on display, especially with Garrett Gilbert, and I thought he did a nice job once he had settled down and kind of gave us a glimpse of perhaps what he will be able to do and accomplish at the University of Texas.
Well, it's amazing. It's kind of like going to an amusement park and riding the biggest, fastest ride possible. You know, he got thrown right into the best defense in a spotlight. I mean, there's a kid, we talked about it, he thought he was just putting on a ball cap and probably watching the game from a sideline the whole game. No way am I getting in this. This is Colt McCoy. He's a senior. He's going to play the whole game. He's going to enjoy this moment. And then all of a sudden, fifth play and you're in. So, you know, the experience that he got, you know, was tremendous, obviously, in a national championship game. And kudos to him, because I don't think there, you know, he came in there, he was kind of like a deer in the headlight a little bit, but you expected that. But what I liked is he settled down. So then you had something kind of to build upon. But I think what's big now is you're going into the season with him as the starter. You open up with a very soft couple games, and he can right the ship there and look at that and build upon that. You know, Mr. Gilbert, there's going to be a lot more easier defenses that you're going to face in the Crimson Tide. So I think, you know, he'll have some good there. I think one thing, though, Texas this year, they need to do is they need to establish that rushing game. You know, Colt McCoy, you know, was that kind of guy who just took off. You know, but they need to get that 1,000-yard rusher, that back that you can say, okay, this is the guy I want to take care of the ball. They haven't had that in the last couple years past. And I think that's hurt them a little bit. But I think more so than ever this year with a new starting quarterback, you're going to need that. And I think we saw that in a little bit of Mr. Trey Newton. You know, his dad was a big offensive lineman.
Absolutely.
And I know Texas fans know who he is. But, you know, looking at this kid, he's fast. You know, he rushed over 500 yards last year. And I think he easily can get to the 1,000-yard back. 1,000-yard mark. But looking at it, too, you've also got McGee and you've got Whitaker as well, too. Don't forget about Jeremy Hill. So you've got the athletes to do it. I think one of them needs to step up, or a couple needs to step up and say, okay, we are the running backs, so you can take that pressure off of Gilbert. I think if they don't establish a running game and Gilbert's got to do a lot more of the running, that's going to put a little bit more pressure than you want on him being a first-year starter. Not saying they're not talented. I think it just ease them up a little bit if you do that.
What about Chris Whaley in terms of when you talk about the running backs? He was the top running back signee in 09, but he redshirted.
Yeah, absolutely. And now he comes in and does it. He was an Army All-American. You know, he's another guy you throw into the mix. And you know what Mac Brown will do? He'll go with the hot hand. So if somebody starts showing that, he's going to start going with them. So there's a lot of talent, like we said, at that running back position, and it's a good problem to have. There are, you know, there's about 119 other schools, or maybe 115, so to speak, that would love to have any one of those guys that we just mentioned, you know, say, hey, come play for us. But they got them all. So they've got the talent to do that, just putting them in place, and I think they're going to be relied on more a lot in 2010.
We are zeroing in, talking some Texas offense, of course, with our friends from Phil Steele Magazine, philsteele.com. Joey Lucci is along with us. Before we start talking about the offensive line, we had hit momentarily talking about Garrett Gilbert, their quarterback situation, but who are their backups going to be?
You got Sherrod Harris, and he's a senior. He's been with the been with the team since, you know, redshirted in 06, and he's been there. It's just unfortunate that, you know, he had to, you know, play behind McCoy and whatnot. So you do got an experience. And don't forget John Childs. He was a quarterback. He moved to receiver. He can throw some passes if you know, some things happen. But I really do think with those two guys, those guys are going to pretty much stay a backup and a receiver. And I think, you know, things are going to be on Gilbert. And let's just face it, that thing that happened to McCoy, it does happen. Starters do go down. You know, we saw it in the Big 12, you know, with two guys last year. But, you know, you can't go into the season thinking that, but you do have to prepare a backup guy for that. But I think they'll be okay with Gilbert, And like I said, if something doesn't happen, remember, Childs is still at the wide receiver position. Then you got Sherrod Harris.
I was getting ready to segue you right into Case McCoy. Of course, he'll be competing for, I would say, the third spot?
Yeah, probably doing the third spot. And they're probably looking maybe to redshirt him, kind of get him familiar with the system. But in a couple of years, you know, we can have another McCoy. And hopefully he can have the success that his brother did. I know Colt wants everything but the best for his brother there.
Were you surprised to see Colt McCoy in terms of the draft, the NFL draft, where he went?
I love it. You know me being from the area. There's no surprise there. I will run out and get my Colt McCoy jersey. I think, for me personally, it's just I wanted him, and we got him, and I think he's a leader. And hopefully the Browns give him a shot. And you know, he doesn't play this year, but gets a year to learn the system. And then I can't wait one day. He's close here, and maybe I'll meet him one day because they're only about 15 minutes away from where I'm at. So I'm pretty excited, though.
He is just a tremendous human being. I think a terrific college player. And I think anyone that doubted the value of him as a quarterback, you know, you only had to see what happened in the national championship game with not having Colt McCoy in that title game.
Absolutely. And I hope I get to watch him in the pros for, you know, 7, 10, 12 years down the road. And I just, you know, have, like, when the Browns did draft him, just being close to home, there's a big smile on my face.
Okay, let's talk about the offensive line. What does the future hold for the Longhorns? Because they're losing three starters off an offensive line that seemed to, I think, underachieve a little bit last year.
A little bit, you know, Adam Iwatoski, you know, Chris Hall, you know, these are guys, Tanner, these are guys that were anchors on that line. But, you know, if you look at Texas and how they rush, you know, 148 yards per game, 4.0. Yeah, that was down. I mean, that was down. They haven't had something like that. You know, it was well beyond 2003. So even though losing three starters, they still have Huey coming back. They still have Hicks. And another hint, Hicks is on the cover of that Texas magazine with Dalton, too. So, you know, so that's how much we like him. And, you know, I like Snow sitting there at center. And you're going to plug in some top-notch offensive linemen. We've got Trey Allen moving to the right guard, maybe Britt Mitchell moving into the right tackle. And then the backups are all just highly touted athletes coming in. So I don't think they're really going to miss a beat there. I think they're going to see well over that 148 yards per game average. And I'll tell you what, they need to get back to more of that 2007 rush game where they rushed for about 208 yards a game, 5.0 a carry. If they can get in that 200 range, it's going to be a very successful year for the Texas Longhorns, because then you know the rushing game's working and you got the pressure off of Gilbert and he can do his thing.
We are quickly running out of time. Joey Lucci is joining us from Phil Steele Magazine, philsteele.com. We want to encourage you guys, look for it on the magazine newsstands. It's going to be coming out, hitting the stands in the month of June. You said June 8th, correct, Joey?
That's correct.
Okay, let's quickly talk about Texas A&M, the Aggies. This was a team, I thought, they showed some progression in Sherman's second season.
I think they did wonderful last year. I didn't think there was too much out of them. You're coming out of a 4-8 season. You went to a bowl game. Yeah, it was a 6-7 record. But looking at it this year, I think A&M's going to field his best team in 3 years. I think that Mike Sherman can get this team to 8-4, flirt with double digits, and all starts with Gerard Johnson. There was nothing wrong with that A&M offense last year. Absolutely potent, 32.8 points a game. Now their defense is better this year. Now this is a team that had 21, you know, true and redshirt freshmen running around last year with their heads cut off. You know, they, you know, a little bit wide-eyed and stuff. Now all these players are a little bit veteran. So their defense, you have to think, is going to be better. And I love the way their schedule sets up. They have a very easy 3 non-conference games, a bye, and then they play an Oklahoma State team that I think is going to be down a little bit. So I personally think that they'll be a 4-0 team heading down to that Arlington game, which I love that Arkansas-Texas A&M game. I think that's an awesome way to do it. Ryan Mallett, a quarterback from Arkansas, I think it's going to be a great quarterback battle. Their schedule is very difficult, 3 of their last 4 against Oklahoma, Nebraska, and at Texas. But if A&M can get that and get those wins early, which I think they can, this is a team that might be 7-1, 8-1, or 7-1 possibly heading to home against Oklahoma. So I think it's going to be a good year for Aggie fans this year.
We solely focused on Texas football. My engineer, Michael Garcia, is giving me the wrap-up sign. So, Joey, we just got to do this all over again. I hope you don't mind. I'll call you in a couple of weeks, and we'll definitely head north. We got to talk some Mighty Sooners, and we got to talk Oklahoma State Cowboys. We can't leave out our friends up there in Stillwater.
Absolutely.
Outstanding. Great job, Joey. And of course, go to Phil Steele Magazine to check out all kinds of great information. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. We're going to step aside. We'll be right back.